This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, in St. Louis, we like to think the 1904 World's Fair was the start of everything. You know, what was it? Ice cream cones and hot dogs and whatever else.
Electricity and iced tea.
Yeah, like everything was started here hot or at dog. Least discovered here. We also apparently think the hamburger, the first ever hamburger sold, was here.
Do we?
At the 1904
See,
World's Fair?
See, that one I haven't heard. I thought hamburgers were from Germany.
Well, apparently the first one in the United States, I guess, was thought to be sold here, but I guess not. Chris Carosa is a hamburger historian, also the author of a book called Hamburger Dreams, How Classic Crime Solving Techniques Helped Crack the Case of America's Greatest Culinary Mystery. Chris is with us on KMOX. How you doing, Chris?
Great. How are you guys?
Yeah. So what's this 1904 World's Fair thing that we can't claim anymore?
Well, that was a popular myth that really lasted for about 50 years that claimed that the first hamburger was sold at the 1904 St. Louis World's Fair by a guy from Texas, by way of Illinois, actually, named Fletcher Davis, but not true. There were hamburgers that were being sold well into the late 1880s or in 1890s. So the first one wasn't sold at the fair. In fact, that story in my book, I actually reverse engineer it to try to figure out exactly how that myth was created. And I think I narrowed it down to a promotion that occurred after World War II in Chicago by a hamburger restaurant franchise owner. He had about 15 restaurants, and he wanted to have a big hamburger day. So he came up with this idea that it was invented on the midway of the St. Louis World's Fair in 1904. But not true.
Wow. Oh,
that's a bummer.
That is a bummer. Okay, so wait a minute. Isn't a hamburger somebody from Hamburg? doesn't it have anything to do with that?
Yes, it does, but not the Hamburg that you're thinking of.
Okay.
So in the early 1960s, Ray Kroc sent a vice president to Hamburg, Germany, with a certificate saying, "Hey, thank you for inventing the hamburger." And when the vice president gave it to the mayor said, "We didn't do it. This is from America. The hamburger is from America." So oddly enough, the name Hamburg sandwich is what it was originally called, came about because Frank and Charles Menches, when they sold the first hamburger at the Erie County Fair in Western New York, they were in the town of Hamburg, and the fair was collectively or locally called the Hamburg Fair. And it was just by accident. They didn't invent this for the purpose of selling it. They ran out of pork sausage. That's normally what they were selling. So they had this brand new kind of thing that they sold. They sold out of it. People liked it. Somebody came up and asked them, "What is it called?" Well, they didn't have a name for it. So he looked up, saw the sign Hamburg Fair, and said, "Oh, it's called a Hamburg sandwich." And a lot of people think that story is just way too cute to be true. But in fact, there's an 1885 newspaper article about that same fair that describes a very similar situation that occurred with cheese. So naming it after the place where it was invented was a naming convention during that era.
Okay. So that's not exactly what I had heard about it. So how do we get to the bottom?
You're not the hamburger expert, though,
right? Ronge. Right. But, you know, you hear things.
Yeah.
So how do you get to the bottom of something like this?
Well, what I did, and you notice from the title of the book, is I treated it almost like it's a cold case, a criminal cold case. And I used all the evidence that I could get from the interviews of the people involved. So, for example, the 1904 story with St. Louis, it was easy to eliminate because I was able to find newspaper articles that described hamburgers being made from the 1890s. And not only that, I had menus from diners with hamburger sandwiches from the late 1890s. So I knew that the hamburger was invented before 1904. That eliminated St. Louis. It also eliminated New Haven, which is ironic because those were the two battling it out from roughly 1970 into the early 2000s. That left a couple more candidates, both from 1885. And there I had to be a little bit more forensic and use the information that they gave in their quotes as facts that I can then double check and verify through other sources, second primary sources. So something even as simple as the weather. The weather played a factor in the Frank and Charles Mencius story. And I was able to confirm that, yes, the weather was correct the way that they described it.
That's crazy. So a lot of times the iteration of a food item or whatever it may be that we have now is not the original form. So the patty that's kind of smashed on the grill, was that the original hamburger, how it was made?
So the funny story is when Frank and Charles Mencius first made the hamburger, they did put it into a patty form because that's what they did with their pork sausage. But it didn't cook the same. They grilled it. So they kind of charred the outside, but the inside was raw. So then they cooked it more, so the inside would get cooked, and they didn't invent the first hamburger. They invented the first hockey puck. That's how hard it was. So what they did is they added some elements like coffee to kind of steam it on the inside and brown sugar to get rid of the coffee taste and a couple of other elements. So it was really a mixture that is unlike what we're used to having when we have hamburgers today. But here's the other thing that people don't realize. Buns were not around at that time.
Yeah.
So they didn't put it on buns. They actually cut loaves of bread into like a V-shaped pita-like formation, and then put the hamburger right in the middle of that V. So that's how it was served.
Yeah. So there's I know that there's still restaurants that do that, like and I can't name them off the top of my head, but very traditional old way of doing it with slices of bread instead of buns. How common is that?
Not that common in the sense that. The first time I had a hamburger like that, so when I first discovered this, I was in New Haven, and I told my friend, he said, no, the hamburger wasn't invented there. It was invented at Louis' Lunch in New Haven. And he promptly took me to Louis' Lunch, where they served hamburgers on toast and no ketchup. So they had a very distinct way of serving it, which they became known for. And I think a lot of hamburger places now, they try to come up with their own variation on a theme of hamburger. Sometimes not even using beef as the burger, but it's all part of, you know, what's setting them apart. How can they attract more customers?
So tomorrow, July 4th, is a really big cookout day for Americans. When did a burger become part of that, like a big staple of an American cookout?
The hamburger really became popular, I would say, by the late 1800s. So by 1900, the hamburger was a staple at fairs, carnivals, things like that, as concession food. It became a fast food by the 1920s when White Castle was created. As far as barbecues, it was being barbecued around that same time. So about the same time White Castle was there, it became really popular. The whole sense of an outdoor barbecue involving hot dogs and hamburgers, for example, I think that's more of a post-World War II thing, because originally the July 4th barbecue was a real barbecue, you know, the kind of foods that we would imagine would be barbecued right now or, you know, today, kind of a little bit more fancy than hamburgers and hot dogs.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, but hamburgers and hot dogs, like kind of around the same time, got popular in the late 19th century?
Yeah, the hot dogs actually came about first. Okay. So they were being served at baseball parks, obviously, in the 1880s, I should say. The hamburger itself wasn't created until 1885.
So, like, we can assume that somebody who fought in the Civil War later on ate hamburgers and hot dogs at baseball parks?
I think that would be a pretty good assumption,
so
yeah.
That's so insane.
All right.
That is so I have never put those two things together. Never occurred to me that someone in the Civil War later on would go to the ball game and get a hot dog.
Remember that TV?
That blows my mind.
You know that TV show? It was a, you have to guess why this person was notable.
Yes.
And it was a very old person. It was like in the 50s.
Yep.
And that person had been at Ford's Theater when
Abraham
Lee was shot. Yeah. Anyway, it's weird to put those things together. So, all right, you're a hamburger expert. What is the absolute best way to make one? And is it unequivocal?
Well, I'm going to tell you the best way to make a hamburger is the way I make it. So, and I think that's true for everybody. You have your own personal favorite. I mean, for me, like what I do is I put a lot of Italian spices inside the ground beef, mix it all up. It's not quite a meatball. I don't put breadcrumbs or anything like that in there, but garlic, mint, you know, that sort of stuff. And then I just cook it on the grill and I flip it over several times because I like to see the juice kind of form up on top. That tells me when it's really almost done. I don't like to overcook it because I like mine, you know, medium rare. But that's the way I do it.
Okay. Well, you're the authority. So we have to go with that. And I also know that you're from Buffalo, New York. I've also heard wings weren't invented there. They were at the 1904 World's Fair. Is that true?
No, we're going with Frank and Teresa's story that they did it in the early 60s, 1960s.
Awesome.
Well,
hey, we appreciate it, Chris. This is really fun stuff. And enjoy July 4th tomorrow. Enjoy whatever burgers you're about to have. And I'm sure we're going to do the same. Thank you for joining us
today. Okay, you too. Thanks. Yep, bye.
That is hamburger historian Chris Carosa, author of the book Hamburger Dreams, How Classic Crime-Solving Techniques Help Crack the Case of America's Greatest Culinary Mystery. Also, his website is hamburgerdreams.com.
Hamburger dreams. I like it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that?
I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd like to ruin something else, Amy, before we get into some other stuff. Because we just had it ruined for us that the hamburger was not first sold at the 1904 World's Fair.
I don't know if we should buy it.
Frank Ladd, producer, Frank, is... He said during the break to us, what are you going to ruin next, that we didn't invent the ice cream cone? Yeah, we are. It wasn't first invented at the World's Fair in 1904, like we'd like to think it was. It made its first appearance in 1896 in New York City by Italo Marchionne, who was an immigrant from Italy.
The guy that also did like Morse code.
I don't know. But it made the ice cream cone made he had his first patent on it in December of 1903. So that's one full year.
But it was, I don't think, see, here's the thing. I never learned that it was invented at the World's Fair. I think I learned that it was really introduced to the public en masse at the World's Fair.
So,
like, electricity wasn't invented at the World's Fair, but it was the first time a lot of people had seen it like that.
Okay, so Marchionne is credited with, and this is according to the International Dairy Foods Association. They would know.
You think, but Big Dairy, I could see them making up a story to benefit them.
How does this benefit them? It's probably more interesting if it comes from a place like St. Louis than New York. Maybe, New York is New York. It's more interesting if it comes from, like, St. Louis or Lincoln, Nebraska. You know what I mean?
I don't think so. New York is sexy.
Yeah, but everything's invented in New York. So, 1904 in the World's Fair, there was a completely different person independently who was unaware of the ice cream cone. His name was Ernest Hamwi, and he was a Syrian concessionaire, and he made a similar creation. It was a crisp waffle-like pastry, and it was next to an ice cream vendor, and they put the two things together. So there was a separate sort of ice cream cone thing that happened here, but it had already been invented several years prior in New York.
The waffle cone is an absolute treasure.
Oh my God, is that good?
If you go from a waffle cone back to the foam, like the styrofoamy regular cones, buy in the box at the grocery store, and they're all
stacked.
The one
that feels like the peanuts, the styrofoam peanuts.
Yes. Oh, waffle cones are amazing.
So that is why, before we move on here, that is why when you go into an ice cream store, which I think is one of the three best smelling places in the world.
Yes.
Coffee shops. I think flower shops smell great.
I like breakfast restaurants.
And a coffee shop, you know, and ice cream store. And it's because of the waffle cone.
Sweet baked waffle cone. So good. Okay. On Twitter, at Chris Amy KMOX, we have our question of the week, which is, how do you greet your coworkers every day? Do you say, hey, hi? Do you say, how are you? Do you give a nonverbal acknowledgement, or do you do nothing? You just keep on walking by those jerks.
Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
Well, but we are a little bit different than the regular corporate environment. One, we're rude to each other, and it's just insane what gets said around here. But also, we not only see each other every day, but we're constantly talking. We've already had 500 texts by the time we show up to work in the morning. You guys are the last people I text before I fall asleep at night because all these texts are coming in at night.
Isn't that nice?
No, it's awful. I feel like I'm married to you two.
It's nice, isn't it? We're just a family here.
I don't think so, though.
Yeah, we're a family. We just like to have our separate spaces.
A sleep divorce.
We're having a sleep divorce.
Just moved into separate places.
For people who don't know, a sleep divorce is when you are married but you sleep in separate bedrooms.
Yeah.
Because it can actually benefit you.
But Matt has three couches just in case we all want to hang out together. That's why he has three couches.
That's really nice.
Can I bring something up that is apropos of nothing? It is just super random, but every time I experience this, it's just so off-putting.
Mm-hmm. When Matt eats in here and we're all hungry.
What? He did have a sandwich that looked really good.
We're all starving. Yeah. We're not starving, but we're hungry right now. Mm-hmm. And Matt is in here having a sandwich. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I want to know, what is the most offensive color to you? Because here's the thing. Everyone talks about, what's your favorite color? I love black. I mean, black is just so classy,
yeah,
right?
I
wear
too.
A lot of black turtlenecks.
Yeah.
But I do like a deep burgundy. It's really pretty. But at any rate, no one ever asks, what's your least favorite color? And here's what happened. I have moved. I'm in a house now. And so I have a bathroom and I need a shower curtain. Well, I thought I picked out, I couldn't decide if I wanted to go white or like beige, like a soft beige. The problem is I'm not great with colors. I think I went to the Magic House years ago and they had this color test and I got all of them wrong. I'm not good with colors. I'm not colorblind, but I can't tell what color something is objectively. It's all relative to the colors around it. So I thought what I got was a light beige shower curtain and I hung it up yesterday, which takes a while because you got to do all the hooks. Oh, just takes forever.
Oh.
And I stand back. It is a light peach. And I realized peach is the most off-putting color. I hate peach. And it was really big in the 70s. A lot of vintage stores have like peach tops and dresses because it was so big in the 70s. That shower curtain was up for 27 seconds before I ripped it down and I am returning it. I cannot stand peach. It looked beige in the store, but in my apartment or in my house, it was peach.
Well, I think peach is the most off-putting fruit. I think
peaches are so good.
I hate peaches and apricots are just awful.
Oh, I love peaches
Terrible.
And apricots. But the color peach is so off-putting.
And pears. Pears.
Of
course you would.
See, I like peaches, apricots, and pears. You know what I don't like? I don't like tart things like tart blackberries.
What is the Bill Burr joke when he's making fun of Steve Jobs and how Steve Jobs didn't invent anything. He had all of his people invent stuff for him. And he said, you just imagine this guy walking around the office eating some kind of pretentious fruit like a pear.
I love pears. But no, I just think peach is an off-putting color. It's not good.
Friend of yours coming on the show next, Amy?
We do. My good friend Julio. He took the Southwest flight to Cuba.
Oh.
From St. Louis.
Awesome.
And I know two people who have really walked around and been to Cuba. One is more of an acquaintance, but Julio is a good friend. And he recently went to Cuba and he's going to tell us about it.
That's interesting. I can't wait to talk to him. We'll do that next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark Scores with you. Well, if you've been a longtime listener of KMOX, you know about my running group and my very international friends that I always say this group, they travel from all over the world. It's so much fun. They've made me a better person. And I'm so excited now to welcome in one of my favorite people in the whole world. Ronj is bouncing up and down with excitement.
I am. I'm excited to finally meet one of your friends.
And that is Julio Zegarra Bayon. He is the owner of ZB Market. And I think he's something of a local celebrity. You know our own Debbie Monterey.
I do.
And ZB Market is a fair trade store in Maplewood. Incredible, incredible items and gifts and household goods. So I highly recommend it. But Julio is also a world traveler, in addition to being an incredible marathoner. Are you at 40 marathons yet?
39.
39.
Counting, so I'll be there hopefully by the end of the year.
In different states.
Right.
Like, he's okay. Doing all 50 states.
Good for you.
What a great way to meet to see the country, right? And to see new cities every time.
Yes. Well, I would rather just go there, I think.
Right.
Not have to run 26
to
miles first.
Times,
I've been to Indianapolis a lot.
Yeah.
But Julio, you are from Peru. You go home a lot to visit your family, but you also travel around the world. And I guess let's start with the overall, the 30,000 foot view. We've talked about this a lot, and we were talking about that here, too, in the studio, how important it is to travel and to see the world and see other cultures and how it builds character. And you have recently been to Scotland and to India. You're going to Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you tell people travel is important?
Well, first of all, thank you both so much for the invitation to join you. It's an honor. Travel is just part of my DNA, but I think it has its roots in the fact that I grew up in Peru, as you said, where in the educational system, you have to learn geography. It's one of the core courses. And at a very young age, I was sort of in love with the idea of knowing all 150 plus countries around the world. We were forced to learn the capital cities of each city and each country. And in the process, you just begin to dream or daydream about one day I'll walk down the Piazza San Marco in Venice, and one day I'll get to see the pyramids of Giza in Cairo and so forth. And on the other hand, because I was in Peru, I also had the chance to dream about what it would be like to go into the United States and New York and all those. So I think that's the origin of my interest in travel. It does, to some degree, put you outside of your comfort zone. You do have to try something new, whether it's food, climate, people that you'll meet that are very different from you. But it's so essential to our just overall mental and physical health, I think. I realize that I am privileged. I have the means, financial means, and the time available to me to be able to travel. But I tell you, each and every time I get to visit a new city in a new country, I come back hopeful. Mm-hmm. I come back comparing and contrasting what life is like in other parts of the world to the St. Louis landscape and realize how different, but yet at the same time, how similar we are as humans. We all look for the exact same things. We all want happiness. We all want safety. We want our children to be and to grow in great environments. So having that additional sort of dose of an international vibe. It just makes you, I think, someone who can appreciate what you have, but also understand the world differently, better, and just to be able to build this tolerance. Somebody in a different culture is going to think differently than you, but you kind of appreciate and value their opinions and the way they think.
There's an immeasurable value to being able to do that and visiting other places, talking with people who are from somewhere else, because it probably tears down those ideas that you might have of them until you meet somebody like that. So, but you mentioned it is, you know, you're able to do it. Financially, you're able to do it. What would you recommend to people who would love to be able to, you know, visit with people from somewhere else or visit other places, but maybe it just isn't possible for them to do it?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I do realize how lucky and blessed I am and my family to have had the chance to travel. I would say start small. You know, St. Louis is a beautiful city, but this country offers so much. National parks, to go on hikes, to go places. So you don't necessarily have to break the bank to be able to begin this journey of getting to see parts of the U.S. if that's a little more affordable to you. But what I want to say is it is incredibly affordable in some cases. If you're looking in the right place, if you go to the website that has offers. I just opened an email earlier today offering trips to the Netherlands, where I've been to not long ago, for as low as $400 round trip.
No.
So if you think about it, you sometimes have to pay double that to go to New York City from St. Louis. So it isn't necessarily as expensive. Now, once you get there, obviously you need to take into account hotels and food and all of that. But you would be amazed as how accessible it could be for American travelers to visit different parts of the world. In fact, I'll get to go to Morocco, Marrakesh in January because I found an amazing deal. And I said to myself, why not? I've never been to Africa. This would be the first time I'll set foot in the African continent. But that would just be one other way to be able to do it. So I am honestly very respectful of and very cognizant of the fact that not everybody has that luxury. But you would be amazed if you really set your goal and say, hey, at the end of this year, I'd love to be able to visit one country, whether it's our neighbors from the north, neighbors from the south, or further afield in Europe. You'd be amazed at how affordable some of these trips can be.
Yeah, and to your point, Julio, was it your trip to India, was that where you also found a great deal? Where
it was.
You let the deal kind of determine where you're going. Do you mind sharing? What did
you
pay
for your
flight to India?
Again, it was one of those things. You're just browsing, playing with your phone, and all of a sudden there's a search for what would it cost to get to Delhi from the U.S.? And at the time, I was surprised to see that Air India had a direct flight, Chicago-Delhi, which is like a 14-and-a-half-hour trip, for $650 round trip. Now, of course, this is in the future. This is within a time frame that is not peak travel. So if you have the flexibility, I looked at my wife and I said, hey, how about India? And she goes, what is that? There's a catch. I'm sure there's a catch. Well, no, it says here that it is $650. Now, you can pay a little more if you get to choose your seats. But outside of that, it's a direct flight.
Yeah.
We both, Amy and I, have this awesome friend from India, Pratt, whom I bounced the idea off. And he said, if you found that price, get it.
Get it.
Because we hardly ever pay less than $2,000 to get there.
And they've got family there, so they're always going home. And it's just so expensive to go.
And it was, for my wife and I, it was our very first trip. And we said, well, this is an incredibly big country. We can't afford to see all of it. Let's just focus on a sliver of the country, what we can see within 8 days. And Pratt helped us plan our trip. But I tell you, for less than $750, we were able to fly direct from Chicago to Delhi. And it was a trip of a lifetime.
It is. And I will say this too, like people get their nails done or whatever a lot, you know, like I've gotten a manicure and I kind of like, oh, I kind of need one. And I thought, you know what? Every time I have the inclination to get a manicure, I'm not going to get it and put it in my travel fund because it does add up. It really does add up after a while if you find that good flight. And I also wanted to talk to you about, it was so interesting when you and your wife went to Cuba because was it the Southwest flight?
That is exactly right.
When did you tell us all about it, like how you decided to go? Was the flight from St. Louis to Miami to
somewhere
Cuba?
In the South? I want to say Phoenix, maybe. I'm sorry, I can't remember. But it all started because my wife is a Spanish teacher at the New City School, and part of her own growth as a professional is to visit as many Spanish-speaking countries in South America, Central America, and even Spain. And we've been, again, lucky and blessed to have been to many of those countries. So Cuba was certainly on the list, but it seemed always seemed unattainable. It's like, okay, you know, we all know Cuba is like, you know, embargo and a place you can never see, until one day I realized that Southwest can get you there, can get you to Havana. So our lights went off. I am lucky that for my business, I have this credit card that allows me endless travel with Southwest. And so we looked into this. Spring break was coming up and we said, let's do it. So the interesting thing is, even though there is an agreement and permission from an American airline to fly into Cuba, the reality is that American travelers are not as welcome as other people. Canadians, people from around the world.
Russians,
felt,
you said, are
Russians
very welcome.
Russians even are felt more welcome. Yeah. So the journey started by making the decision to visit. Then we always like to read about the country we're going to visit. And then we were surprised there was not a lot of literature about it. Not much is written about Cuba. So everything you learn is just anecdotally from people saying, yeah, I was there and I did this. So lots of lessons if you're considering that. A, they don't accept a single credit card from any U.S. bank. So you have to have cash. If you want to purchase things, you have to have cash. Now, you can bring U.S. currency, but the second big lesson is, where do you exchange it? You know, there is a black market, but if you go to a bank, you get a fraction of the exchange rate. So it's better to contact someone. Mm. The second piece that we found interesting is, even though there is this war or fight between Cuba and the U.S., for all the reasons we know, Airbnb still operates in Cuba.
Oh.
And so we saw properties, we saw places where we could stay, and we thought, let's book them. Let's book them for both Havana and Playa Varadero, which is like a beach resort somewhere close by. And what we learned later is that those properties are listed on Airbnb, not because the owners are getting the money transferred to their banks in Cuba. It's because they have a relative, a friend, or someone who lives in the U.S. who has done the listing for them. So everything happens behind the scenes. Payment is still being made, but whoever gets the money is not really the owner of this property.
Oh.
It's someone outside of Cuba. How they managed to transfer the money, I'll never know. So anyway, we get there. We are excited for a new opportunity. And then, first of all, the arrival is a little bit hostile because you're placed into this box and you're asked all these questions. Why are you going? And blah, blah, blah. And you eventually get cleared. You got to find a taxi. And the taxi driver is an engineer who works for the government. But they make so little money that the only other way to, you know, make a living is to have odd jobs.
To do a gig. A lot of people do that here.
Exactly. It's two and three jobs. So that was interesting. But it is just this, I call it, the country doesn't make it a welcoming experience for U.S. travelers for the reasons that are beyond our control. You know, and that applies to, you have no access to your banking or anything that if you ever want to do. And I own a business, so I need to be constantly in touch with our purchases, our sales, and all of it. And I had zero access to that. You could not use Wi-Fi. Your phones do not work because ours is with a U.S.-based telephone company. So imagine traveling with kids. They're not going to like you because they cannot use their phones. You have to look for spots throughout cities and places that have Wi-Fi. There's all these firewalls, so Google is not accessible. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I guess in looking back, had we known, maybe we could have had a little bit more technology available to us, maybe a VPN dialer, something that could have kind of gone outside of all that and had access. But it is still true. You have to have cash. You will not, you cannot pay anything.
But if they know you're American and they know you're carrying cash, that kind of makes you a target. What happens if you get robbed?
I am sure that happens. But this is an interesting thing about Cuba. There is no crime.
Interesting.
I know it sounds like a weird thing that there are no guns. Nobody owns a gun. So unless I fight you with my fist, and I literally, there is no crime. So it is an odd reality, but yet you sort of feel safer because there's...
I did have one question, Ranj, because I know about the grocery stores. What was that about the food?
Oh my gosh. So part of the appeal of visiting a new place, a new city, is to always discover what's new, going to a grocery store and buying things locally. Well, you cannot. There aren't any grocery stores for anybody. Everything that is a grocery store is only for Cubans. They are given a monthly allotment of sorts where they can go in and use that, I guess like a food stamp version of it. to get their groceries. So as a foreigner, you have no access to that. So the only access you have to food is by going to restaurants. The restaurants are either nationally owned or privately owned. If you go to a nationally owned, out of 20 items on their menu, they may have only two or three available at the time. So you have to accept it. Or you go to a privately owned, you pay with cash, and then they treat you like royalty because you are bringing income to the economy.
That's super interesting.
It's wild. I would feel a bit intimidated. I don't know if I'm brave enough to do that, but it was something where you were saying you're glad you did it, but not necessarily planning a return trip.
I would never go back. Sorry. Once I'm done. This would be one place that for the circumstances and the reality, I wouldn't want to go back to, even though the country probably offers so much. It is just... Now, the question would be different, I guess, if you were to ask someone from outside of the U.S., you know, somebody from South America or a Russian individual, how do you like the experience? Somebody in casual conversation told us that many Russians use Cuba as their resort of choice. They go during the summer as a vacation spot.
You said there's signs in Russian.
The signs on the roads have Spanish, and underneath it's in Russian, which I thought was also fascinating.
Historically, the relationship's a little better with the Russians than it is with us.
It is interesting. It feels like the country was frozen in time. Before the revolution, everything was thriving. After that, all the buildings are in decay and really, really run down.
It's so interesting, Julio. Thank you for sharing the story. Thank you for sharing the travel tips, the importance of travel, and about Cuba. Really interesting because of that Southwest flight.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, maybe I should go. But those are a good summary of what you may be looking into. Julio Zagarabayon, the owner of ZB Market. You may have been to his store in Maplewood. Thank you so much, Julio. You're the best.
My pleasure. It was my pleasure. Nice meeting
you. And thank you for... proving to me that Amy does have people that hang out with her.
Yeah, they think I don't.
Other than
friends.
Their family.
Amy is loved by a lot of people, especially in the running community.
That's adorable.
Thank you.
She didn't have to. I just said it from my heart.
It's 104.1 FM KMOX. Thank you, Julio, for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, a look back at this week's Chris and Amy show. Out of context.
I'm not going to tackle a woolly mammoth.
But moving sucks.
I would clone something less hairy.
You can't go screaming with a bullhorn at 2:00 in the morning in my neighborhood, because if you do, you're going to get busted by the popo.
I'm not going to be wearing underpants whenever you stop by.
I will whine all day long.
Also, I'm going through a pretty horrible divorce right now. I don't have a peephole.
You don't have a peephole?
There's no peephole. I know what most of that's about.
Yeah, you missed the Brad Young.
I missed Brad Young, though. I wasn't here for that one.
Yep. All right.
Well, because we are off Friday, I want to give you this week's out of context today. Because, we're not going to be here tomorrow. So I'm going to play each of those clips individually now, and I want you guys to provide context for each of those clips.
Yes.
And, Amy, I'm going to have you... sort of. I guess I don't have Brad Young ready. Never mind.
Okay.
So, Amy, I'll start with you. Give some context to this.
I will whine all day long. That was a texter who was mad at me for whining about the sale of public lands that was in the Big Beautiful Bill. But I was saying, like, hurrah, it has been... That sale of public lands, that whole provision has been removed.
That's correct,
Amy.
And
they said, stop whining. And I said, no.
That's
because whining is a big reason why they pulled it from the bill. Huzzah.
Good job.
Good job, Amy.
Thank you.
It was all because of you.
Ronj, explain this horrible comment you made.
I'm not going to be wearing underpants whenever you stop by.
Yeah, that's rude.
Oh, we're talking about my place that I've moved to and Pop-Ins. I don't like random pop-ins without being announced. Like, you let me know that you're coming by.
But in context, you moved without underpants.
Oh, that's right.
How did you forget that?
I forgot. Yeah. That's right.
He gets
I did.
That one wrong.
It's half right.
Nope.
So when I was moving Monday, I forgot to pack underwear in my old place. And so I did the whole day with just shorts and a t-shirt. And I was not comfortable. Kind of comfortable.
He was out
but not.
There.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, but people probably knew because you were wearing sweatpants shorts.
You think everybody saw it.
You were out there. That's rude.
I didn't know. Junk was going to be out there.
Amy, give some context to this.
So I'm not going to tackle a woolly mammoth. Mammoth.
I don't know what that is at all. I here for that?
No, you're gone.
Okay.
So I know Brad Young brought up how they're trying to genetically bring back the woolly mammoth in the same way that they brought back that wolf. But he was talking about barbecuing the woolly mammoth.
Yep.
But why would I tackle a woolly mammoth?
So you were saying how you wouldn't eat a woolly mammoth because it's too hairy.
Yeah.
And you said, I barely tackle artichokes. I'm not going to tackle a woolly mammoth.
That's right. Because you know the hair.
You're talking like wrapping him up like a defensive end?
Yes, I was picturing a football tackle. Yes. Well, because he said you could barbecue them. I said, listen, if you're going to bring back something to barbecue, why would you bring back something so hairy? Have you said artichoke
heart? You take the skin off?
No, it just takes forever.
Okay.
And they're really big, too.
Yeah.
They are big. Like elephants.
Ranji, I don't even know if I have the context for this one.
Also, I'm going through a pretty horrible divorce right now.
I think I do, but...
It was about... I don't... I kind of... You're going to say it, and I'll be like, yep, that's what it was.
Yeah, I think you were just complaining about moving... and you're just kind of like airing all your grievances on air. I've got the full clip here.
Also, I'm going through a pretty horrible divorce right now. The move has cost me money. She's costing me money.
I think it was because a texter asked if the wife and kids were helping you move.
That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
That's it.
A texter did ask that. And no, the wife and kids did not help me move. So
because
they're dead
of
to
the
me.
Divorce.
They're all dead to me. I'm never going to see that family again.
You said you were going to take the kids, which is a terrible thing to say.
In the middle of the night, too.
Yes, don't say that. That's awful.
Last one for you guys.
I don't have a peephole.
You don't have a peephole?
There's no peephole. It's not peephole. It's peephole. I can't see out my front door. That's what it is.
It definitely sounds like peephole.
Yep, that's what it is. We pretty much nailed that. I think we...
That was good.
Yeah. Our memories aren't too bad. Hey, Amy, you were talking about your peach shower curtain. A texter said, Amy, just want you to know, I found a shower curtain on Amazon. It took a while because they have everything for everyone. I found a white curtain with a soft aqua print of a sea turtle and two babies.
So specific. Very
sea
specific.
Sea turtle and two babies? Okay. Are they human babies? Why would there be a sea turtle and two human babies on your shower curtain?
A shower curtain print of just human babies? That's so weird.
And they're lifelike, too. They're not cartoonish. All right, that's the end of this show and this week of this show. We'll be back on Monday at 9 o'clock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account.
Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.